Good morning. So happy to see you, so many of you here today. Before we actually begin our program this morning, which is being put on by the Journey Group, we felt it would be appreciated to explain what the Journey Group is and its function. Our member Bill Hart wrote a description for you, but unfortunately had to cancel his appearance today. So members of our group will each read a portion of his description.
The Journey Group started while Dawn Sangre was our minister about 20 years ago. It has evolved since then. At its most basic level, it is an opportunity for anyone, member or not, to meet weekly, usually on a Thursday evening between 7 and 8:30 p.m., to exchange thoughts and beliefs about a given topic. We do this along with a check-in for the week, and of course, all conversation is kept confidential.
Occasionally, we create the topic we discuss, but much more often than not,
The topics are chosen from materials from various Unitarian Universalist churches around the country, with many topics coming from the White Plains Unitarian Church.
Thanks. Topics in the past have been long, short, and in between. They have ranged from happiness, God, compassion, beauty, awe, desire, and love. Always thought-provoking and challenging, whether or not we expected that to be the case or not.
Guess I'm appropriately dressed. Because of COVID, we went to Zoom for our meetings, where as formerly we met here at the fellowship. We number 9 most meetings, but at times more and at other times less. We invite anyone to join us, even if you just drop in once in a while. You will find a link to the Journey Group meetings within the fourth word newsletter sent out weekly by Pam Cook. So check us out. We are easy to reach and a fun group as well.
As mentioned, our discussions are based upon materials created by other UU congregations for this purpose and led by volunteer facilitators from among the group members. The materials contain relevant short readings on the topic. We are now going to read you some of the readings on our topic of today, humor.
Imagination was given to man to compensate him for what he is not, a sense of humor to console him for what he is. Francis Bacon.
Like a welcome summer rain, humor may suddenly cleanse and cool the earth, the air, and you. Langston Hughes.
And this one was selected by Bill Hart. I'm standing in for him. Good planning is important. I've also regarded a sense of humor as one of the most important things on a big expedition. When you're in a difficult or dangerous situation, or when you're depressed about the chances of success, someone who can make you laugh eases the tension. Edmund Hillary.
One of Sigmund Freud's famous observations was that people joke about whatever is most important to them in order to reduce the tension created by that importance. This is true on the level of speech in communities as well as individuals. If the jokes shared by the members of a community are reflections of the values of that community, and in particular, the tensions created as members of that community, who try to live up to those values. It is no accident that preschoolers joke about control of bodily functions, teenagers about sex, and teachers joke about outrageous excuses offered by students. Karen Tracy from Unitarian Universalist Identity, Kate Tweedy Ursley, Youth and Campus Ministry.
Okay, I got this 5 ways to find humor in everyday life from the Time magazine, May 29th, and I think it's apropos. So these are the five ways to find humor. One, figure out what makes you laugh. Two, identify at least one funny thing every single day. Three, train yourself to be quick-witted. That would be Bob Shavern. Number four, master one joke. And five, enlist props like a big red clown nose, a funny glasses, or some other prop, which you'll see later.
Thank you.
Common sense and a sense of humor are the same thing, moving at different speeds. A sense of humor is just common sense dancing. Clive James.
Humor has been described as willingness to accept life and ourselves with a shrug and a smile, lightheartedness, and gives a sense of mastery over a situation. Humor has been viewed as a way of looking at a situation from a different point of view, diffusing a crisis, providing an opportunity for increased insight and objectivity. Humor matters in our relationships. Humor matters in preventing the buildup of stress. Humor matters in our perspective of life and thrives between man's aspirations and his limitations. So our readings always include questions regarding the topic, and today we have a question for you. How has humor been useful in situations in your life?
Why are you laughing?
I'm ready for a joke. I'm not ready for how it's situational. Okay. I'm just so ready for the joke.
One of the things that's been a lifelong joy is the appreciation of absurdity that my Uncle Morris gave me. He was in the Delta, and I was a little kid, and he stole bacon off my plate. And it's passed down through the generations to my daughter, who was visiting us one weekend for supper. And I have shtick that I do all the time. I say, well, I'll do that on occasion, a wedding, a bar mitzvah. And obviously, Rebecca had said something that reflected the fact that she knew my shtick. And I was sitting there beaming with pride. And Rebecca looks across the table at me and says, your life has meaning.
I once was in a wonderful situation of having two gentlemen who were interested in me. And one was taking my problems very seriously, and we were talking about them. And the other was making light of them and making laughter. And I chose the light.
That reminds me of my own situation. When I got my divorce and I decided I was going to try to date, I went on Match.com, and everybody says what's important to them. And number one on every woman's list was sense of humor. So I have no sense of humor and terrible at telling jokes. Can't remember them, forget the punchline and so forth. So what I did was I would learn jokes and I would practice them. And I practiced them with the guys at the gym. And I'd come here when I first got divorces, when I started coming here. I would practice them with guys here. And then that I get the timing down. And I could remember them just long enough to go out on a date. Then I
I can remember all through my life the most difficult situations are the funniest in the long run. So when I first met my husband, this is before we were married, we were going to go out west and go mountain climbing together, and he said I had to learn how to rappel. And apparently rappelling is you're like walking down the side of the mountain while you're roped up. And I'm like, there have you said, and there are zillions of people watching this whole thing, and they go, relax, we have you. Nothing can happen to you. And the idea is that you're supposed to end up perpendicular to the mountain, but right. No, I ended up upside down with my feet up and my head down. And everybody goes, whoa, we never saw that before. And I'm like, how do I get out of this? So totally mortifying, totally embarrassing, and I thought it was hysterical. And that's how our life went.
Else? Okay. A discussion of humor would not be complete without a chance to tell some jokes. So Journey Group members are now going to tell some jokes they like, and then the congregation will have a chance to pitch in their own. But remember, the annual meeting follows this service, so one joke per person and keep them short, please. Here's mine. Three engineering students are discussing what sort of God must have designed the human body. The first says, God must be a mechanical engineer. Look at all the joints. The second says, I think God must be an electrical engineer. The nervous system has thousands of electrical connections. The third says, actually, God is a civil engineer. Who else would run a toxic waste pipeline through a recreational area? And the next one is Bill Hart's joke. I'm going to have to fill in for him because he couldn't make it. This is a Lenny Bruce joke. I know my humor is outrageous when it makes the Unitarians so mad they burn a question mark on my front lawn.
Did you hear about the mathematician who's afraid of negative numbers? He'll stop at nothing to avoid them.
And I, like Ralph, I'm terrible at remembering jokes, and we didn't write this out, so bear with me. So Moses, Jesus, and a little old man with a flowing beard decide to go golfing. And Moses hits the first shot, and it lands in a lake. He walks over to the lake, puts his arms up, the water's parted. He hit the ball back on course beautifully. And it's Jesus' turn, and he hit the ball far, far. Again, it landed in the lake. And it landed actually on a lily pad. So he walks over to the lake, he walks on the water, he goes up to the lily pad and shoots it off. Then the little old man, who didn't look like much of a golfer, swings wildly and hits it just out of the, not ballpark, the whatever you call it, the green in the golf club. And it ricochets off a roof and it goes down a drain pipe and it comes out with such force that it just flies into the lake again. Whereupon a frog sees it and gobbles it up. A hawk sees the frog and just swoops down and picks up the frog, and the frog is so dizzy from the flight that the ball pops out straight into the hole in one. So Moses turns to Jesus and says, that's exactly why I hate it when you bring your father along to golf.
And now it's your turn.
So I was looking for a joke for today, and I asked myself, how many Unitarians does it take to change a light bulb? And so I found this. This is on the austintexasuu.org. So you have to bear with me if I start laughing. Okay, I'll try to talk coherently. How many Unitarian Universalists does it take to change a light bulb? 3. 1 to write a solemn statement which will affirm the following. 1. This light bulb is natural, a part of the universe, and evolved over many years by small steps. 2. There must be no discrimination against dark bulbs in any form, and means must be found for all dark bulbs to take their place alongside light bulbs on the basis of equality. 3. We affirm the right of all bulbs to screw into the sockets of their choice, regardless of the bulb's illumination preference. 4. UUs seek for each light bulb the fullest opportunity to develop itself into its full electrical potential. 2. To write this one. We chose not to make a statement either in favor of or against the light bulb. However, if you have found in your own journey that light bulbs work for you, that is fine. You are invited to write a poem or compose a modern dance. about your personal relationship with your light bulb and present it next month at our annual Light Bulb Sunday service, at which we will explore a number of light bulb traditions, including incandescence, fluorescence, three-way, long life, and tinted, all of which are equally valid paths to luminescence. Okay, I have more jokes here, but that's enough.
So Trooper is watching a slow-moving van. Pulls the van over. Man has penguins in his car. He says, "What are you doing with penguins in your car?" The driver says, "It was a nice day. I thought I'd take them for a ride." Trooper says, "Take these penguins to the zoo." Next day, here comes the van again. Not only are the penguins still in the car, they're all wearing sunglasses. Trooper says, "Are you mocking me?" Driver says, "No." He says, "Yesterday we had such a good time at the zoo. Today we're going to the beach."
Okay, so now we're ready for our closing remarks by our longtime member, Dorothy Bowman, who's on Zoom today. So go ahead, Dorothy.
Hi. I'm Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
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 I'm cold. I don't want to sprint around. To me, the journey group is a connection. Learned a lot from it, and I have, changed my attitude, but opinions about things with the journey group, and it's been very helpful to me, and so I have enjoyed it for many years, right from the beginning, so, and I enjoy the So we've all stayed together, and it's been great. Thank you very much for the journey group.
Thank you, Dorothy. And now we're ready for a closing song by our talented journey group member, Ellen Monton.
I'd just like to mention there's one more journey group member with us, and that's Virginia Fair.
Hi, Virginia. Oh, hi, Virginia. Hi.
Shook that thing when Adam and Eve
We're in the Garden of English. Shelley must have shook that thing. I say.